Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 115. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We have some movies for you, and we're going to start off with, once again, Chris is doing his due diligence and going to the theater. I have not, but Chris, you went and saw Ghost of the Shell.
I did. Yeah, so this is the live-action adaptation of the anime that I don't remember anything about.
You've seen it, though, or no?
Years ago. Like, I mean, we're talking like... Okay. Trying to think of when it came out, but I saw it.
95.
Yeah, so I probably saw it. Like, yeah, 95, 96 or so. Like a dub of it, because I think it was originally in Japanese. And I did not like that movie when I saw it. The anime. I know like people love it, and I was like, it's okay. It's a little dull. It's not, you know. It's a philosophical anime, I guess. Like, there are things that they touch on, because the ghost is basically the consciousness that is in this robotic shell, and that is, that's basically what this is. Scarlett Johansson is the ghost. Her soul is basically has been brought back to life and is put inside this cyborg shell. And she is like a super soldier for this elite task force. I believe in Japan, but I'm not sure it gets really, it's future world, like cyberpunkish. Everything looks very like, you know, super urban, but just like you would think in, you know, like a cyberpunk film, like Blade Runner or something like that, like where it's very like compacted. There's tons of people. Everybody lives in like a high rise, small apartment type thing. I don't know. So I don't have like a love for the anime. But I went to this. It looked cool. Trailers look cool. And I came out going, this isn't too bad.
Cool. I'm happy to hear that because I thought it looked cool too.
Yeah.
I know like people have problems with it, and I know it bombed at the box office, but I still am interested. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really stylish looking movie. Can definitely see where people have issues with it. Scarlett Johansson is her brain that is inside this is the brain of like a teenage Japanese girl or like an early 20 something Japanese girl, basically put into her this frame.
Well, that
looks like Scarlett Johansson.
Well, that is, how they explain her casting, the whitewashing in it. Like, that's, I guess we should kind of say what the controversy is that it's supposed to be an Asian role, I guess.
I'm not sure. Like, I don't remember the, and maybe it is. I don't remember the character in the original being specifically.
That's the thing, and I have not seen the original, but I was talking with our friend Aaron, who has, and he's like, I don't think they ever say she's Asian in it. Like, I guess anime characters generally look vaguely Asian or something.
There's a very distinct style to, like, you can, like, a lot of them are drawn very, you could tell a difference between, like, an Asian character and a Western character.
An anime.
Yeah, okay. they, you know, the eyes are very much way bigger for them in for Western characters.
Yeah, okay.
So you can kind of look, but I don't remember, like, I do remember that they call, like, they had a name, and it was definitely a Japanese-sounding name in the original, but I don't remember the character itself being specifically like looking like it was a Japanese character.
Yeah, but that is the controversy, essentially, yeah. Right? Like, yes. That is... And yeah. From... I just listened to, like I said, Slash Filmcast's review of this movie today, and they were like, that is the film's way of addressing its criticisms, is trying to throw it its criticisms into the plot. Like, well, the reason is because she got put into, like, a white shell. Like,
which, on some, like... I mean, you can definitely make an argument that there is some whitewashing going on here, because like the person in charge of the corporation, like the evil corporation, Hanka, that makes these kind of shells, or has been making like a big cybernetics corporation, white guy, the head doctor, white lady, like all the main characters that like are in charge of the robotics of this are white characters in what is seemingly like a Japanese city. But it's not, I don't think it's explicitly said like this is Tokyo or Kyoto or anything like that. I don't know.
I guess at least this is the way they made it sound, is that it was the filmmaker's way and the film's way of trying to address the criticisms of
I could see that. Yeah.
And they were like, well, maybe you could have done something interesting with that, but they like didn't. So I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen this. I haven't seen the original. I personally don't have.
Yeah. So they don't really don't do anything. Really. They don't really do anything interesting with her race at all. Like it's a non-issue. Whether she's Japanese or whatnot, it's not really an issue. This does play off a little bit of the ethical implications of taking somebody's consciousness, their brain, and loading it into a cyborg shell and experimenting on them, like in some way.
So they do address, like the film is kind of about that, like the RoboCop aspect of it.
Yeah. So like, very, very much so. It's like at the beginning, like you're introduced to, like you don't know who Scarlett Johansson's character is before she's in the shell. Like you don't know that at the outset. From the outset, like you see somebody being kind of brought in, you see her coming online, and from there it plays out. And like that's kind of the big bad in this, is revealing that he's not really the bad one. He's just trying to get revenge for the life that was taken from him, and trying to like awaken in Scarlett Johansson's character the fact that she is she's been manipulated as well. Her memories are being suppressed, and they're lying to her to get her to be the super soldier cop, and that is all kind of played out. It's very flimsy, and like it's not, I wouldn't even say flimsy, like, but it's just, it's there. Like that's the plot of the film, but really it's like watching her do cool things.
Yeah.
Like in a really cool environment with like cool cyborg characters and you know, like the political stuff, the ethical stuff is interesting enough that it strings the movie along. It's not a long movie. I think it's like an hour and 45 minutes or so, which is kind of like the nice, it's like a nice time frame for a film like this. Like it doesn't overstay its welcome. It gets in, it gets out. We're good. It's a fun cyberpunk time. Like I enjoyed it. Like I'll give you my rating right now. It's a 3, but it's like it's a fun 3. Like I wasn't like, you know what? This sucked. Like there are movies that you go, all right, like that works, and that's why it's a 3, but I didn't really enjoy this. Like
yeah. Well, I have a movie like that tonight.
Yeah. Like but this was like, hey, that was cool looking.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it plays enough with the ethical stuff. Like if you want to have those conversations with people that have seen it, like you can. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, but we're also talking about an anime that's like 22 years old or something like that. Like, if it like that, that was what was groundbreaking. Like, you're not going to break new ground with a live action adaptation of a 22 year old anime. Like, it's just not going to happen. I understand the people that are like that love that anime, love the, because evidently there's other, there's like sequels to the anime and there's like a manga and I don't know. I understand, like, if you are a huge fan of Ghost in the Shell, maybe this doesn't work for you. But I think, like, if you like cyberpunk action movies like Total Recall, Minority Report, like the Blade Runner aesthetic, this is going to work for you. It's a fun little film, like the like RoboCop, shit like that. Like,
yeah,
it's a fun movie. It's not going to blow your mind, but it's fun. And Scarlett Johansson's really good in it.
Yeah, she's one of, like, I know for a lot of people, she's like a huge sticking point and a problem with this movie. But honestly, she's one of the main reasons I'm like,
yes, she's the reason to go see it. Like, she carries the movie with her performance. So
that's cool. Like, yeah, I'm happy to hear it. Like I said, this movie's getting a lot of shit, and it is kind of disappointing to hear that. Like, for me, I like the, like, brainier parts of sci-fi. That's sure. Like why I really love, God, what was that AI movie last year? Ex Machina.
Yes.
Or not last year, it was the year before. It's disappointing for me to hear, like, that stuff's not as super interesting as you would like. But
right.
I'm also okay with, like, a spectacle action-type movie. You know, like, that's okay, too. So
yeah, I mean, you're talking about like a PG-13 action flick. Like, it's not gonna, like, it's a big budget movie, so it has a lot of things that it can't, it has to play to a wider audience as well as maybe touching on some of those things. So I think it does both okay. It's just not, it's not gonna like be like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's always an opportunity though to make something that's like pop entertainment, but also have
sure
stuff for people that want to chew on. Either way, I'm just like sort of happy to hear that like you're giving it a 3 at least. Like, it makes me like, all right, cool. It'll be like a decent rental when it comes out.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna make it to the theater, but
nah, it's like I think if you have 2 hours to burn, and like when it comes out on video or DVD or something, like, I don't think like it's gonna hurt your brain to watch it. So,
so it's not like, yeah, like that's the thing, is just the way these guys reviewed it on that show was very much like, it's dumb, which okay, but then they also said it's boring. I was like, no, don't say that.
Yeah, I wasn't bored. Like, I think it like has a really cool visual style. I was engaged in her character. It is a little weird that like, so she has a real, like, she has a name, but they call her Major all the time, which is her rank.
Mm-hmm.
Which I found that weird, because like they just refer to her as like, Major, what are you doing? Like in casual conversation, like, she's, this isn't like a military operation. She's like working with her partner, but her partner calls her Major all the time. Like, it's like, but, and she has a name, like, she says it, like,
maybe to like for the remove her identity from her, or I don't know, because like I said,
yeah, I guess
I don't know what's going on.
It's really weird. Yeah, I don't get why like they call her Major all the time, like, but that was like the one sticking point for me. It was like, she has a fucking name, she says it, like, but whatever.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm still interested, so I will be seeing it when it comes out, to, you know, out of theaters into my house. So
cool.
I only saw a couple things this week. I guess I'll start with the one I didn't really like, which is, it's called 20th Century Women. It's written and directed by Mike Mills, who has done some other indie movies that people like that I have not seen. Movies like Beginners and Thumbsucker. I haven't seen them. Stars Annette Bening. And it's basically It follows this family for like a year or so in 1979. Yeah. And it's like a single mom. She's raising a son on her own, and he's like a teenager. And she rents out rooms in her house to like these different people, which is weird. Because it takes a long time for, like, I was like, are these people living in her house, like, are they, like, brothers and sisters of the other kid? Or, like, you know what I mean? I was a little like, who are these people?
Right.
And the movie does not explain who these people are for a long, long time. Like literally an hour and a half into the movie, they explain who one of the characters is who lives in the house. I'm like, is that supposed to be some sort of big reveal I was waiting for? Like, it would have been nice to know up front, like, what the fuck? What are all these weird people doing in their house?
Right.
That's basically it. There's no real conflict. There's no real plot to it. Like, there's like little plot, like little things. Like the kid, he is in love with a character played by Elle Fanning. And she just wants to be friends with him. They've been friends since they were like really little kids. And she comes and she like basically lives in this house too all the time. She like sleeps in bed with him, but she won't have sex with him. In fact, she'll go have sex with other guys and tell him about it. And it like, you know, drives him crazy. I guess if there's like a central thing driving it besides that is that like he's trying to understand his mom. And the movie's kind of a showcase for Annette Bening to like her acting and stuff. And
okay.
It's kind of a portrait of her. This is what the movie feels like. I know I'm like going all over the place and like, doesn't really seem to be a point to it. Cause there's really not. It feels like Mike Mills is remembering very specifically how he grew up and throwing everything that he remembers into this movie. Like, much in the way, I mean, that's what how Stephen King describes The Body. Stand by Me. Like, he's like, I just put everything I remembered about being a kid in the 50s into this story. But, like, when Stephen King wrote The Body, he's enough of a storyteller to know he's got to put the hook in there. Like, he's got to put some sort of conflict. And in the body, it was going to find this body, right? This movie doesn't have that. So it's just, like, people hanging out in 1979. And you know the biggest problem is maybe the mom and the son don't understand each other that great. Like, there's like lots of cool little moments in it for sure. Like, there's a part where they're watching this famous speech that Jimmy Carter, you know, gave on TV. All sorts of things. There's like really nice touches. Like, the movie looks nice. It's got a really nice score. Like, the music I really liked. And it's got really, like, interesting, like, cool voiceover work where, like, it'll either be the mom or the son narrating. But, like, just weird, like, stuff where the mom will be like, it is 1979 and I'm doing this. And in 20 years, in 1999, I will die of cancer because of the cigarettes that I keep smoking. And, like, just really, like, crazy shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's this movie's... I want to say it was like 2 hours long.
Yeah, it's 100.
You feel it. Yeah, you feel it, man. Because you know, there's nothing going on.
It's a shame. I thought I saw a trailer for this. It looked like that could be like a cute, like comedic drama. But I really didn't get a feel of what the movie was, and evidently
there's a reason why. It really is just kind of the love between a mom and her son and. Him kind of, you know, it's sort of like his side is kind of a coming of age thing and her side is just kind of a portrait of a single mom type thing.
Right.
But like I said, really, like, the best way I could describe it is it's obviously a personal thing from the director, kind of remembering everything he can remember about being a kid in 1979. All sorts of little things, like just the books that, you know, it's very specific, which I appreciate that. Like they get into very... like the kid starts reading feminist books and they tell you which book he's reading and they'll put it on the screen, like, you know, what the book is and like written by so-and-so. And then he'll be reading it and in voiceover reading it. So you're like hearing passages from a famous book. So there's like things like that I like. There's parts and pieces that I like, but like it's a drag, dude. It's really, really boring. Snooze fest.
That kind of sucks.
But there's a, you know, there's enough nuggets in there, and it's well made enough that I can't just sit here and be like hate on it, because it's
right.
There's
right.
nothing to, like it doesn't deserve hatred. It's there's a lot of things actually to admire about it. I just wish that it had more of a like a narrative backbone. You know what I mean? Like a spine to the story. Because as it is, it's just kind of a collection of memories. That's what it feels like. And some of it is actually like, you know, there's, like I said, there's things here worth checking out that are cool, but like it's in many ways felt like homework for me. So I'm going to give it 3 stars. That's 20th Century Women. And that betting is very good in it. I mean, everyone's very good in it. And like I said, it has its moments, but boy, oh boy, was I bored mostly. So.
All right. Well, I'll be skipping that one.
Yeah. It's too bad. Well, I guess I'll just throw out the only other thing, only other movie I saw, and that's Moana. Right.
Yeah,
I seem to remember you not being like blown away by it.
I liked it, but yeah, I wasn't like I didn't love it quite as much as like Tangled.
Some people really love Moana.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did in the back of my head going into it, I was like, I remember you being like, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was pretty damn good. Like, I wasn't blown away by it like I was, like, Inside Out.
Right.
Or even Zootopia. It's very, and I think the reason is because Moana is, feels like a very traditional Disney movie in a lot of ways. Like, Disney princess movie. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really stray from the formula too much. I mean, I guess its setting and stuff is, you know.
Right, the fact that it's an islander theme,
yeah.
like that is definitely different. That's a culture they haven't really explored,
and I, you know, maybe I don't know if this is new to Disney. I do like the strong princess character, she's not technically a princess in this, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's new or not.
You can go back. I think since they started again. Maybe with like Tangled. Since then, like Rapunzel was you know very strong willed. Even Elsa and Anna and Frozen are.
Yeah, that's all modern era though. Like,
yeah, but like, yeah, like I mean, we're not talking like it's definitely way different than like Cinderella or Aurora or yeah. Snow White.
She's not a damsel. She's she is like the hero of this.
She's capable on her own. Yeah,
I like that. I liked Maui, played by The Rock.
Yeah.
I love the animation in it. I thought the movie was beautiful. Like, for as much as I could sit there and appreciate, like, say, Kubo and the Two Strings and, like, the fact that it took him 10 years to, like, craft it, like, if we're just going on a pure aesthetic basis, I think this is one of the best animated looking movies, like, you know, best looking animated movies I've ever seen. I get that it's probably a lot easier than seeing that they use like computers and whatnot, but God, it's just beautiful looking, and I loved the music in it. I really liked the songs.
Yeah, some of them are really catchy and well known.
Like the main theme, which they do a couple times, the one that she sings, mm-hmm. I was really digging it by the end of it. It's kind of been sticking in my head. I really like when Maui shows up and he does the "You're Welcome" song. But by far my favorite song, I don't know if you remember this, is like there's like a giant crab with all these like jewels and stuff that including Maui's hook.
Yes.
At the bottom of the ocean, and he sings a song about how he's so shiny.
Mm-hmm.
I love that song. It was great. It sounded like a David Bowie song or something. Like it was super catchy, but also like kind of weird and you know, stylish. And I like looked up the song after I saw the movie because I wanted to hear it again, and I did not realize it's Jermaine Clement that did that one. Yeah, all around, I really liked it. It didn't strike me emotionally. I just didn't love it like I do some other movies. Like I said, like Inside Out, like right away I was like, I love this movie. Or
right, like I'll certainly watch Moana again, like.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure he will. I would have no problem watching. Like I said, it's just I think the only thing that holds it back is it is a little traditional. Even though it does think it's a step outside of that tradition and give it a little bit of flavor, it's still very like by the numbers, beat for beat, what you expect. Which is fine. That's totally fine. I mean, these movies, in large part, for kids who have not seen a billion movies like this yet. So, I thought it was really good, though. I'm gonna give it 4 stars. So that's all I've seen for movies this week. I did also start a TV show, but we'll get into that near the end. I want to hear what else you saw, Chris.
Yeah, so I forgot to mention this one, but I'll just run down real briefly. So I saw a documentary called The Imposter.
Okay, I feel like I know this.
It is about I guess he was like 12 or 13 years old, went missing in Texas, and they get a call from Spain that they found him. But it's not their son. It's a 23-year-old guy pretending to be a 16-year-old boy because the boy had been missing for 3 years. And this goes on for like months. Like he goes
Were you
back and,
conned them?
yeah, he conned them. Like,
Oh, that's horrible. That's a
yeah,
horrible thing
it's
to do.
this twisted thing. Like, and then at the end, like he's working with the FBI. Like he accuses the family of, he accuses the mom of killing the son that was missing. And
So
so
this
there
guy's a
was,
nutcase.
oh yeah. And like he's evidently like a French national, and he was wanted by Interpol and tons of, like, it was just crazy. It's a crazy case. Like, and the guy has this like kind of charm to him, but like as you see how this is like planned, like this guy is, he's a devious like sociopath. Like just like it's nasty, and like you really feel for the family at the end that they were conned like
Oh
this.
my
And
God. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it's one thing for to have someone go missing on you, but then to get that, to give that hope back, only to find out that
it's like, and
someone's
even
fucking
like,
with you.
yeah, and even like towards the end, like where, you know, like the FBI is like, ah, we don't think that this is the guy, and like they're doing interviews with the family and with him, and like he can't name people out of like the photo book, and like he's claiming like amnesia, and like he doesn't talk a lot because like he's like, I guess he wasn't Spanish, he was French, but he has like a very distinct like accent, so he tried to keep his English like very brief. And he like laid out this like twisted reason for, like, you know, that he was kidnapped, like, and then he was put into sex slavery, and like he was basically being raped every day by multiple people for 3 years, and he just happened to escape. And like, so like the family was, yeah, like, oh my God, like, yeah, we'll give him all the time he wants to recover. And like then like there's this investigation going in, like, and this isn't the kid. Like, yeah, it's fucked up. Like,
Did you see this on Netflix?
it's on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I might
Yeah.
have to check. I give this. Well, did you like the movie? How about
Yeah,
that?
it's I mean, it's a fascinating story, but man, is it fucked up. Like, it's just yeah.
What rating would you give it for it?
Three. Like, I
Three.
think it's gonna be kind of my standard here until I get to the last one. But
Yeah.
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say you reminded me I did watch two shorter documentaries. I don't think I talked about them last week, or maybe I did.
But anything worth mentioning? Like,
I mean they're incredibly hard to watch. One of them's called Extremis. It was nominated for Best Documentary Short at the Oscars.
okay.
It's a Netflix original, I believe. It's 24 minutes long. And it follows like a life support ward of a hospital.
Yep.
Like,
Nope.
yeah, no, like it really like I have like an extreme fear fear of death to begin with. Like, I've just always been obsessed with it since a little kid, and you know, like, it terrifies me. I mean, obviously it scares everybody. You don't want to die. I mean, it's right. natural human, but I have like kind of a stronger like aversion to it, I guess, than some people. But and just to see up close like people in their final moments, and also like going a pretty shitty way, like hooked up to machines and stuff, and having to watch people and their family decide what to do. Yeah, it was rough, dude. that's why I did I talk about this last week or no?
No.
So that's that one. It's 24 minutes long. And you know how, like, when you finish something on Netflix, it, like, suggests, like, other stuff for you to watch? So I went straight from that to a documentary, also short. Like, it's, like, 46 minutes long, called Christina, about a girl who's our age who gets diagnosed with terminal cancer. Yeah, so that was a
You really went on like the let's keep this light and fluffy.
Yeah, and I the fucked up thing is like I had watched some really like dark heavy movie too before that, and then went straight into like it was a night of just depression. And the Christina one is also very very fucking sad because like a lot of like it's you know 46 minute running time, I'd say at least 35 minutes of it are like doctors telling her like, hey, cancer is more of like a chronic disease now that people can live with. It can be treated. It's usually not fatal. I've seen people in your case live another 10 to 15 years. Right. And then it just cuts to 3 months later and she's like a shell and on the verge of death. I was just like, dude. Yeah, not fun stuff, but if you're interested in that material, I don't even want to rate them because they're just documentary shorts. It's just fucked up shit.
Yeah.
They're well made, I guess. Anyways, let's get back on topic.
I don't think I'll be watching either one of them. But
No, I mean, unless you're in the mood for that, which, you know.
Some people can be, yeah. I watched this horror film called Circle It's on Netflix Instant. I don't know. I was just like, I need to clear off some of the shit that I've been adding to my list. So
sure.
I looked for something that was like an hour and a half long and this was there. So I popped it in and it is a movie where it's like 50 people wake up in a room. And they're all standing on a red circle. And you can't leave the circle. Like, if they leave the circle, they're electrocuted and they're dead. There's no instructions from when they wake up. But they quickly learn that there are these arrows that are pointing at them. And you vote by moving your hand and then closing your hand.
Is this like a fucking Jonathan Blow fucking death puzzle?
It's kind of nuts. Like, so, yeah, like these 50 people wake up and then there's these arrows in front of them. And like every 2 minutes, like there's this beeping noise. And at some point they realize that basically they're voting to see who lives next, like who lives or who dies next. And it's just this like crazy social experiment and seeing how people will kind of manipulate each other into trying to make it to the next round. And like, there are definitely ones where it's like really quickly, like, all right, you're the racist, you're the, and like they eliminate them. But as like you're getting down towards as people have been surviving, then it starts getting dark and they start trying to make deals with each other. And no, we need to get rid of these people. And it's a weird fucked up movie and it all takes place in this room and that's it. Like, it's just the voting up until the very end where you realize that they've all been on like a spaceship and this is happening all around the world and only one person from each of the ships lives. And there's no like explanation for why it happens or why it was going on, but just the interaction between these people and the decisions they're making and how they're coming to those decisions and like some of the evil shit that like people will pull Like there's like a little like 8-year-old girl, and there's a woman who's pregnant, and like people are battling over, no, well, we should kill her. Like, oh, well, what kind of job do you have? Like, are you going to be able to support your baby? Like, it's fucking nuts. Like some of the stuff that comes up. So it was very fascinating. It's super low budget, but I thought some of the performances and the ethical questions that come up from it are really interesting. So
That's a great idea too for a low budget movie. Like, hey, it's all gonna be in this room, you know?
yeah, it's like everybody's there. It's like I don't think it was like one continuous shot, but they definitely
Almost feels like
yeah,
it.
it's this dark room with like red circles, like super like well constructed, interesting social experiment. So yeah, I liked it. It's a 3 for me.
It's a 3. It sounds like a cool, like Twilight Zone type idea.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I have an assignment for you.
Okay.
Called Black Mirror.
Yeah, I'm getting there. It's on my list.
Here's what I'll say. Do this. Watch one episode, and that episode is called San Junipero. Like San Junipero. Watch that.
Which season is that? 3 or?
Season 3, yeah. You'll be able to find it. It's my favorite episode, and it's a lot of people's favorite episode. And it
Okay.
doesn't matter. You could watch just that episode, and you're fine because they're all self-contained, right? Kind
Okay,
of,
so there's like
basically.
I don't have to watch it from the beginning.
No, not at all. I mean, the way I watched the series, I jumped all over the place.
Okay.
I would just flip through episodes and go, that sounds interesting. I'll watch that one today. There are little things, like there's little world building between them, kind of,
Okay.
but it's really just kind of like Easter eggs for people who have seen other episodes. You can watch them all. I mean, you could watch them in any order. You could watch only one of them. It doesn't matter. They're like little mini 1-hour movies, and fucking, I don't know if I've stressed this enough. Like, it is easily the best show I've seen since Breaking Bad. Like, just I can't wait for them to come out with more. The show is so good.
There is a I'm looking at IMDb, and season 4 is listed as having 6 episodes, but there's no descriptions on them yet. So sometime this year.
Yeah, it's just I think Netflix ordered like Netflix picked up this show from BBC, I want to say, and they ordered essentially 2 seasons, like 6 episodes each, which is like crazy because all the seasons are short, but 6 episodes is the longest of the seasons. There's only 3 seasons. I think season one is three episodes, so there's not like a like you're gonna like fall in love with the show and then burn through it and be like, God, I need more. Like,
Okay.
so smart. It's so good. It doesn't take long to catch up, even though it's not about catching up. It's just they're all their own thing.
All right. We'll try that.
I thought you said you had one more thing that like was a high recommend, so I need to stop talking and let you hear
Yeah.
what that is.
Well, no, I don't have anything. It's the
Oh.
other way around. So I saw Incarnate, which is Aaron Eckhart. And some other people. I don't know who the hell they are. Anyway, it's a demon possession movie, exorcist type film. Aaron Eckhart is not part of religious order. He goes about exorcisms a very different way. He believes that while they're demons, he believes they're more of a parasite that can be eliminated through science and basically like dream
Oh,
therapy.
I saw the trailer for this, I
And
want to say.
I like the idea of that. Like I like the idea of like taking a scientific approach to possession.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure there's scientists that do that try to figure out what it is. Yeah.
But it goes off the rails real quickly, and it's just not. It's not a good movie. Aaron Eckhart's fine. He plays this basically like an exorcist, or they call him an incarnate. I guess like a somebody who works outside the bounds of the church, but the church kind of like enlists him to help get this demon out of this boy because they believe it's an archdemon. And it's an archdemon that Aaron Eckhart's character, Dr. Ember, has past experience with, and because that demon caused a car accident and killed his wife and child. I don't. They explain it real briefly. This is stupid. I like the idea. I really do. It's a cool concept.
That's about it.
Yeah, and that's really it. The rest of it is total crap. I watched the entire thing, so I mean, I guess it has that going for it. But it's just and it ends like it could have ended, and you've been like, all right, yeah, that's fine. Like, because there's this kind of like. MacGuffin or whatever that, like, I don't know, that's probably the wrong word, but there's like an out, right? Like something that's introduced early in the movie. He says, no, I don't need it. And then he goes and he gets it. And it's like, it's the way to kill the demon. And
it's the Chekhov's gun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like this works. Like, this is what I need. And he does it. And like, it's like, could have ended right there. And instead they're like, oh, well, maybe we could set this up for a sequel. So, like, they find a way, even though he's killed the demon, and he's dead. Like, spoiler, sorry.
I don't think I was going to see it.
No. For anybody that was maybe going to see it. Yeah, the way he does it is he gets this moment of clarity that this priest has told him how to use, this priest scientist, and he kills himself because that's the only way to trap the demon and send it back to where it was. But for whatever reason, this representative from the church has the paramedics like trying to revive him in the ambulance, and they bring him back just long enough for the demon to transfer from Ember to her, and like you see her eyes go completely black, and it's like, really? Like, it had to go that way? Like, it's so, like, this film has no hope of ever getting a sequel. It's so dumb. Like, yeah, no, just skip it. Like, even if you're looking for like some shitty horror, like, there's better things out there.
The hubris on some movies to set up for the sequel when it's like, dude, you're barely lucky you made this thing, right? And that, like, people might watch it.
Like, and the whole time I'm just going like, how did they get Aaron Eckhart in this movie? Like, I mean, this is the guy who played, like, you know, fucking fantastic as Harvey Dent in The Dark Knight and as Two-Face, and like, he's been in
Thank You for Smoking, and
yeah, like, so yeah. He's a good actor. Like, yeah, he's legitimately a good actor. And I mean, yes, sometimes people pick, you know, some shitty films, but wow, like, I don't know, he must have just been like, you know what, I got a month free, you're gonna pay me for this, okay, whatever, I can sit in a wheelchair, you're gonna push me around, that's awesome.
I want to say I remember seeing a trailer for it and going, what the fuck is he doing? Like, what is this? Like, why?
Yeah, no, it's not a good movie.
What was your rating on it?
I'll go 2 because it's watchable.
You finished it?
Yeah, I finished it. Like, it's not something I like. I was like, oh my God, this is so bad that, like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, he's fine in it. All the acting is okay, it's just, it's so dumb, and it's like, for a thriller, for a demonic thriller, like, where there's exorcism, like, there's no tension in it, like, and that's bad for a horror movie. Like, you need some sort of tension.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of the key ingredient.
Yeah.
Well, we are running short on time, but there are actually two things I want to touch on before we go.
Okay.
One, I started watching The Leftovers just because a certain friend of ours has been bothering me about it. And also because it's going into its final season, which is season 3. And I love the idea of a show being 3 seasons. So,
and something ending. Like,
yes. So, like, It's like, okay, for me to catch up on this, I watch 20 episodes, and then I'm going to be ready to watch it as it, because I think it starts like next Sunday on HBO. So
okay,
I could easily catch up on that within a week and a half or whatever, and then, you know, if I like it, I keep going. Or even if I don't, it's only going to be another 10 more episodes. So it's interesting. The show is really like well made. It's got a great premise. 3% of the world's population disappears. And we pick up, I think, like 3 years later, like watching the leftovers, the people that are still there trying to go on with life, even though they lost, you know, millions of people who are close to somebody, you know.
Right.
So it's like an interesting premise and an interesting world. I just, the one thing that's driving me fucking nuts, and I'm only 4 episodes in, is like one of the things that pops up as a result of this happening is like this cult of people who wear all white and they stand around smoking, and all they do, they like stand and stare at people and make them uncomfortable. And I'm like, okay. They're like, so like at one point they're like, and they finally in like the second or third episode explain like what their goal is, and their goal is just to remind people what happened. And it's like, so basically these people are assholes. Great. Like it really feels like the first season wants to focus on them, because it's been like, you know, like I said, I'm 4 episodes in, and a big majority of these 4 episodes are focused on these people.
Right.
They're just assholes. Like, I don't find them interesting. Like, I'm like one thing that they did in the episode I just watched is while everyone in town was at some event, they like snuck into people's houses and took pictures of the people who had gone missing out of the people's houses. It's just like, what are you proving? Yeah. Okay. We lost these people. Got it. We all know the rest of the world's trying to like cope, and you're just being assholes. Like just shoving it in people's faces. Like, I don't understand the point of view. I hope that's not the whole focus of the first season, or if it is, that like somehow it goes in a better direction than they're just assholes. But I'm interested. I'm intrigued. I mean, it's a great premise. So
yeah,
I guess I'll have more to say about that by next time. And one more thing I wanted to touch on before we go. We ended last week talking about S-Town, a podcast that kind of blew up. I sang its praises last week, and I guess you listened. Chris, did you finish us down?
I did.
What did you think of it?
How to put this? I like it. I liked it. And then I started thinking about it.
Okay.
And it's pretty fucked up that, like, a lot of the stuff in like the final 3 episodes is revealed, and maybe not so much with the main character's intent.
Or consent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, very much not without his consent. So yeah. It's like, I found it super fascinating. And I mean, there are definitely stories that should be told, but some of it is very much, it's uncomfortable. Like a bit,
sure, yeah,
towards the end,
yeah. There's people that would criticize it in much the same way they criticize Missing Richard Simmons, which I think that podcast kind of deserved it, and also that podcast sucked. I think that this one
did not suck.
Like, no, I think, like, honestly, the more I thought about it a bunch too since finishing it, and like, I guess that's one thing that can be said for it. We both thought about it after listening to it,
yeah.
It's grown on me even more. Like, I liked it last week, but like the more I think about it, I'm like, this has all the hallmarks of great literature. It's about one person, but it's about something larger too. You know what I mean? It's about apathy and people. It's about a guy, like, essentially this podcast is about a guy who's upset with the world because people just let it be shitty. You know what I mean? It's about a lot more than that as well, and it's also about, like, the guy's personal demons and what could drive him to, you know, such desperate acts. I don't know. I was really fascinated listening to it. I don't think it ever tops, like, its bombshell drop in a second episode. But everything spins out from that ending of
episode 2. Because, like, yeah.
I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I can't really go there, but... Yeah, that's like, oh my god, like, and then then you start getting into other things in that show, and it's,
and I'm not sure that
like some of those threads pay off great. Like they're great radio, but
yeah,
I'm not sure that some of those threads, because ultimately nothing happens from some of the direction they take in episode 3 and 4, but
I don't know. It's a bait and switch. It makes you think it's a murder mystery, and then it becomes a human mystery. But I felt like,
and then it becomes kind of like a personal examination of somebody.
Yeah, it's a human mystery. Like, what made this guy tick? And I did feel like, you know, obviously we can't have any definitive answers because of the nature of what happened in it. But I did feel like at the end I got a sense of why what happened did. Like, I really did. More so than like with like Serial season 1. They're two different things completely, but it's just
yeah.
I feel like I could hang my hat on something and go, that's why. Or I have a general like sense of what
I mean, there's a definitive end, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, we know as much as you could ever really know somebody,
right?
In a way, you know, and so I was fine that there wasn't like it didn't end with this big wow moment at the end.
Yeah,
because all you're really trying to do is get to the bottom of what made this very fascinating guy tick. I really liked the guy, dude. Like, right off the bat, that's why when they did the little switch there at that episode 2, I was like, whoa, like, it hit me emotionally. It was a gut punch.
He's a fascinating character.
It's a fascinating show from so many different angles. I really like it. I could see what you're saying. I mean, there's people that are criticizing it because of that. Like, it's like, hey. But I
did like it.
That, like, this guy, I imagine he would be tickled, though, by it. Like, he would actually probably enjoy it. Like, I don't think he didn't seem like someone who was uncomfortable revealing secrets about himself, you know?
Right.
So, I guess that's all I can really say without spoiling it.
I definitely think that, you know, if people like podcasts, they should give it a go.
I think it's something entirely new for Medium. Like, it's kind of groundbreaking. Anyways, I just wanted to touch back on that because I know that you listen to it. So many people I know have listened to it now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a huge hit. And I think deservedly so. Anyways, we've gone well over time. Another show to do. So,
we'll be back next week with more movies.
Or probably a bunch of leftovers. No, I'll have stuff too. So, thanks for listening. Catch you next week.
Movie dudes. Do, 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 do.